Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I'm Amy Otto, and I'm joined by a lot of guests today, but most importantly, I'm joined by Lee Cantor. Lee.
Oh, most importantly. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're back. I missed you last week.
How was it without me?
It was okay. It was, you know.
You had Andy. He's a little more high energy than me.
Andy talks a lot more than you.
You noticed that.
I did notice that. It was fun, though. We had a really good group of guests and a great time. But by the way, I forgot to thank you for the jawbone.
Yes, that's working for you?
The jawbone is unbelievable. And my little guy at Sharper Image called me. He sold all of them.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You get a piece of that?
All of them he had in stock. He sold 5 jawbones in 2 days.
Well, I tell anybody with the... anybody with a convertible should have a jawbone.
Anybody with a convertible or screaming children or... I mowed the lawn for 45 minutes. I talked to my mom on my jawbone and mowed the lawn.
Yeah, it's an amazing product. What about this fit in your ear? I'm having a little problems with that.
I'm telling you, I need to help you with the fitting. I need to do a personal fitting on your jawbone. I'll help you with that.
I'll bring all my little ear things and you can fix it.
I will help you with that. But you know the things that excite me. So, of course, I have to touch on... the Nobel Prize in Medicine. Did you hear about it?
No. I'm not on that email list.
Awarded on Monday. 3 scientists were honored because of their gene targeting. Very cool.
Anybody you knew?
Nobody I knew, but, you know, maybe they'll be on the show someday. Last thing here before we get into our guests, because we've got some great guests today. In the Business to Business magazine, did you see the thing on podcasting?
No.
All right. Thing on podcasting, but the thing that jumped out at me... it is important for business-to-business companies to think outside of the traditional PR toolbox.
That's right.
That's us, Lee.
How long have we been saying that, Amy?
I know. We've been saying it a long time, and it's in the October issue of Business to Business. Okay, so.
What about October Breast Cancer Month? Isn't that your big?
That's my big thing, Breast Cancer Awareness Month here in October.
You have any big events you're doing? You doing the walk?
No, you know, I've done the walk before. I was on Andy's show. I don't know if you knew that. I was on Andy's show.
I was there. You forgot?
That's right.
Thanks.
I was nervous. When people are asking me questions, I don't like to talk about me. I like to talk about other people. Definitely. And like to learn about other people. And that's why today Doug McGinnity is here. It's a pleasure to introduce Doug. And
he's our first guest.
He's our first guest. And the reason because... we have a lot of listeners that are not only local but national, and Doug is local in Sandy Springs, and he is running for councilman for District 1 to fill Dave Greenspan's spot, and I'd love to just introduce him and give him a couple minutes to talk and then let others know how they can reach him. So, Doug, welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on your show.
And thank you so much for coming by. We'd love to just get to know you a little bit better and, you know, let us know where you're from. Give us a little bit of information about your family, maybe.
Sure. I grew up here in the Atlanta area and actually in Dunwoody and spent my school years here, went off to college up at Dartmouth College and froze for 4 years in New Hampshire, decided to come back. So I came back, went to law school at Emory, and then practiced here in Atlanta for a number of years before I moved over to the business side. I helped start up and run a couple insurance brokerage companies, and the most recent one of which is still in existence here in Atlanta. It's actually a national firm called Beecher Carlson. Two guys started, my partner and I, and it's now up near 300-plus employees and doing great. So I'm from here and chose to move back here to raise my family as well.
So what made you want to go from, you know, a business person into politics?
Well, I left the business world about a year ago because I wanted to do something different. I've been fortunate from a business perspective and done pretty well and wanted to give something back to my community. So I started working with a nonprofit about 9 months ago that doesn't give directly back to the community but does give back to the world. It's a nonprofit that uses the soccer world to educate kids in Southern Africa about HIV and AIDS. And I was not planning on running for political office, but the councilman who currently serves resigned a few weeks ago, and it's an open election, and it was just the right time and place for me to do something. I think it's important to try and give back to the community, and I think the stage that the city is in right now is very important, so I think it's worth having good leadership sitting on the council, and so for both of those reasons, I decided to give it a shot.
So this is District 1, right, of Sandy Springs. There's how many districts?
That's correct. There's 6 districts total. This is really what's considered the Dunwoody panhandle of Sandy Springs. So it's basically the part of Sandy Springs that's east of 400 or east of Roswell Road.
So what would be your main priorities? I mean, what would you say would be the top issues you hope to address or make a difference in?
Yeah, I think there's really two from my perspective. One relates to my district and one relates to the overall city. For the district, it's to improve what people call the livability of our district. And I think there's two main initiatives that need to be undertaken in our district. One is to improve some of the intersections and improve traffic flow in our district. And the second, and I think most important, is to figure out a way to add sidewalks to our district. It currently has almost none, and that requires people there to therefore to drive everywhere. You never see people out walking around on the main arteries because you get killed if you did up and down Spalding Road. So that's the first. And the second is, given the stage that the city's at, I think it's important to have someone with some business and financial experience sitting on the council to make sure that what happens today in the early stages of Sandy Springs gets off to a good start. What happens in the early stage of an organization really matters 5-10 years from now, much more so than 10 or 15 years from now.
What when you talk about like sidewalks, how do you see the government getting involved in actually implementing something like that?
Well, I think it's going to require some funding. The city, you know, allocates its money every year. The taxpayers give the city $74-75 million, and that money is spent on various services: police, fire, repaving roads. And I think some of that money needs to be earmarked to putting in sidewalks, not only in our district, but in all the districts in Sandy Springs. I think it really would improve the quality of life where we live.
I know, but when you put in a sidewalk in someone's neighborhood, you're putting a sidewalk on someone's existing property right now.
That is correct. And the interesting thing that I've found is that everybody who I've talked to in our district, including people whose property would be directly impacted, are all in favor of doing this. And all of them would be willing to help in either by donating their land or, you know, approving the project as it exists. The city can go annex the property, but I don't even think it would be that big an issue. I think most people are very much in favor of it.
So how would it work for that individual whose property would be annexed?
Well, it's just no different than any other public works project. They come in and put down the sidewalks and move on.
So, like, if I had an acre and then the government comes in and says, I need whatever, a tenth of your property, then I only have 0.9?
Well, you still own the property.
But I wouldn't own the sidewalk, right?
That's correct. It'd be a public right-of-way, and depending on the circumstances and where the public right-of-way sits today, you may or may not be compensated for that.
I love having sidewalks, Lee. Do you have sidewalks in your neighborhood?
No.
We don't either. I miss that. I really do. It's just, I think from a safety perspective with kids, too, it's a neat thing for them to be able to walk to school, and I love that idea. That's great. You know, Doug, your educational background is incredible, and your resume, it really shines. I know a lot of people would love to hear more from you and love to hear more about what your views might be on Sandy Springs. I understand there's a forum on October 28th from 7 to 8:30 at Brandon Hall. Is that open to the public?
It is, and I'd encourage anybody who wants to hear not only my views but the views of the other three candidates to come that evening. And I think that's scheduled for about an hour and a half that evening.
And when's the election?
Yeah, the election is on November the 6th, which is normal election day, though this will be the only issue on the ballot, the only election on the ballot that day for the folks in District 1.
And it's important to vote. It really is. I mean, to go out on November 6th to make the special trip to vote, I can't encourage people enough. I mean, you got to vote. And Doug, I really appreciate you coming to the show and giving us your views, but is there a place where people can go to get an even broader perspective from you, a website possibly? Yeah,
there sure is, and I'd encourage anybody who wants to learn more about my views to go to www.dougforsandysprings.org. And on that, there's additional contact information and more information about both me and my views.
My last question, because I'm going to ask all three guests today, what's the most important thing your mama passed on to you?
I think, actually, the most important thing my mother passed on to me is to do my homework.
Yeah?
And I think it applies to a lot of places in life, but to actually, you know, do what you're supposed to do.
And do your research and know what you're talking about. Wow. Well, Doug, thank you so much for stopping by. And we also have today from Mom Corps a guest that, Lee, I'd love for you to introduce.
You got it. Maria Goldschall. Is that right, Maria?
That's right.
Is the CEO of the Mom Corps, and she has an extensive background in human resources and is a mom of two who has struggled with balancing the work-life thing all, I guess, since she had kids.
That's right. Right?
And now she finds herself on a mission with Mom Corps. And that's her new calling.
you know, her calling is a good one. There are 5.6 million stay-at-home mothers with children under the age of 18. And I was one
of
them. 5.6 million stay-at-home moms under the age of 18. Does that surprise you?
I think that's too low.
Well, now tell me what you think about this. 59% of the bachelor degrees and 60% of the master's degrees are held by women.
That's... And
women are smart.
No kidding. Look, my wife, she works for a big corporation, and we have a kid, and this is an extremely difficult topic for her. You know, she struggles with this.
And you hang out with me, and we get the pleasure of talking
to
people
like
Maria.
Maria. Go ahead, Maria. Tell us about MomCorps. Tell us how you got in there and what you guys are trying to do.
Well, like it said in my bio, I've struggled with trying to figure out how to maintain my professional career and still spend time with my kids. And when I was introduced to the concept of the MomCorps, which was about 2 years ago, close to the inception of the company, I thought, this can't be. I mean, this is so needed in the world, and especially in the United States, where we don't really have a lot of flexibility for working moms, that I just need to join the company. And I did, and I was employee number 3, and we are 25 employees, and we have offices all over the United States. And what MomCorps does, what our specialty is we find flexible or permanent part-time or independent contractor work for professional-level moms, so lawyers, human resources, accountants. We help them balance their life and maintain their skills if they want to take a step back from traditional 40-hour work weeks.
So are you a temp agency?
We are like a staffing agency, except if obviously we're different. The clients who seek us out have an understanding that the people who they are getting are going to want something less than full time.
Like all the time. It's never going to be a temp to perm situation. It's going to be contracts.
Always flexible.
Contracts,
that's right.
And that's the main priority.
That's right. And so what we do is we cut through the issue of the mom having to sit in front of that particular client and say.
And sell themselves.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a lot. That's a big challenge.
It's a big challenge because they're interviewing against people who will work full time.
Right.
So, and I think what's important about what we're doing, or the most important thing about what we're doing, is we're allowing women to maintain their ability to have their own salary over the years while they're taking care of their children. I mean, with the divorce rate being what it is, 50% of people, I think, is the latest statistic of marriages end up in divorce and all the other issues. For women to be entirely at home and not have the ability to maintain their professional skill set for many years sometimes will hurt them. And this gives them an opportunity to do something and just maybe not everything.
Can you talk about your personal story about how you were working, I would imagine, full time, and then you had kids, and tell us how that transition happened for you? Like, what was the process for you to get back in the workforce and make this balance?
I've been in human resources my entire career. In fact, I was relocated here by a large company locally for a senior human resource job 10 years ago. So my career has been very important to me. And I never really sort of expected that children would get in my way at all. I knew I wanted children.
So you were on a career path.
I was on a career path.
So you wanted kids, but the career was going to be a priority. You thought before you had kids.
I thought surely I could manage all of it.
Right.
You know, back to you. I'm going to answer your last question about what did your mama teach you. My mama taught me resourcefulness. And so I figured, I'm really resourceful. I'm going to figure that out. Oh, she has a problem? Oh, that's not going to happen to me. I'm going to be better than that somehow. But ultimately, you have your children and you get a whopping wake-up call.
Right.
Yes.
And I did. I had my first son. And to be perfectly frank, one wasn't so hard for me. It's when number two came that I absolutely could not handle. I mean, that really rocked my world.
That's why we quit at one.
Yes.
It's more manageable.
I do love my second, so I won't say I might have quit at one. But had I known, I don't know. The second was a difficult sleeper. And I, after the maternity leave, I went back to work. And I was, you know, on maybe an hour of sleep each day, managing a team of people that needed me and having all these responsibilities. At the same time, my husband's travel schedule became immense. He traveled 4 days a week, every week. And so I became what we call the anchor parent, which is the one responsible for what if the nanny has an issue? What if the daycare calls? Who's picking up the milk? And that just really became a big issue for me.
Those are all issues. My gosh, there's so much to juggle. I mean, just the calendar. And how old are your kids?
I have a 7-year-old named Jack and a 4-year-old named Alex.
Okay. well, mine are 10 and 11, and it just seemed like they're social calendars. I am like social coordinator now, and I'm the chauffeur, and I never, ever thought I'd say this, but I can't wait till one of them can drive. It's the car thing. It's driving him to and from. But it is. It's a really big challenge for most moms, and that's why I was really intrigued with your company and the concept. What about your mom? Did she stay home? I'm curious.
My mom was a teacher.
Okay.
She did not stay home, but she also had a – and we went to the same school where she taught, so she was very close to us for a very long time. And that was really the only thing that you could do to have a flexible-ish schedule at the time. Right. But, you know, most, I mean, the statistics, you know, 60% of working mothers, meaning mothers who work full time, would like to work part time. So
what is the percentage?
60%. And so I think that's a pretty big statistic when you think about 60% of people are out there struggling, not wanting to leave the workforce, but they don't really have other opportunities right. or other options.
Now, when they work through you guys, is there a salary even? Because now they're treated, I would imagine, as a like an independent contractor. So they're
right.
keeping all their money and they're having deductions. So they're probably grossing more money than they were making.
Our mission is meaningful work for moms. And by the way, I should say, this doesn't mean just moms. I have plenty of stay-at-home dads who are returning to the workforce.
It's dad core.
It's dad core, boomer core. We have a lot of retirees. Yeah,
nice.
Sure.
That's great.
So we're branded MomCore, but we're for anyone who needs flexibility, really.
Right, and that wants to have that work-life balance.
That's right. So when I said meaningful work for mom, it's important to us that we pay market salaries to people. The expectation is not that the client will get a lawyer for
like
half
a discount,
the price.
Right.
Yeah, no. It is prorated to part-time, obviously.
Sure.
You know, but no, they don't get someone for nothing.
They don't get the mommy discount.
That's right.
The mommy discount. I like that.
So you're actually going into big companies and trying to find the right person there, I guess, in HR, which you're expert in, to say, hey, choose us and we'll find you the right people that'll solve this contractor problem that you have?
That's right. Sometimes it's companies that want to be best practices companies. They mm-hmm. want to be able to keep and attract women. And so they seek us out. Our biggest client locally is KPMG, and they on in any occasion have 6 to 10 of our moms working for them flexibly during their busy season. And so, you know, it really is us seeking them out, them seeking us out, because we're a new concept and they want to be able to participate in this.
How hard is it for you to get meetings with these people? Are they open to talking with you?
You know, it really depends. I mean, there are some very traditional, not open to change organizations,
right.
which of course I'm not going to name here, who...
What do they rhyme with?
Sounds like.
They will be slower to the uptake. And frankly, the only thing that's going to get them moving is when the boomers really leave.
Right, in
some
mass.
Of these,
I mean, it's been called like free agent nation, where everybody is kind of their own business. And your company seems to be, you know, that aligns with that, because
right.
a person can go and do a contract with one of your companies and then 3 months later find another one. And, you know, as long as they have the skills, you know, they're going to be in demand.
That's right. And, you know, the statistic is the United States is going to have a 10 million worker shortage because of the boomers retiring. So over
wow.
the next 6 years, there's going to be a 10 million worker shortage, and women are leaving in droves, and particularly women MBAs. It's interesting. You go through all this schooling.
Really?
And, you know, I think a larger something like 70% of women MBAs in their child-rearing years are leaving the workforce.
Why do you think that is?
I think that's because typically their jobs are really high-power jobs,
right.
more than 40, probably 60.
Right.
And if you're working in a consulting firm, let's say 60 hours a week traveling all the time, well, that's just not doable.
Right. And are you finding more and more like younger people open to this, or is it becoming that's the norm now? If you're younger, is like, hey, I'd rather be contract. I'd rather, you know, be flexible and have take off a month and, you know, pop back in.
That's so interesting that you bring that up, because it is true that the new generation and I forget what they've been tagged. What was their tag anyway?
Some letter.
A letter. That generation is not interested any longer in going
right.
in traditional.
The gold watch days are long gone.
That's
I think
right.
you know, retiring with a gold watch, you know, after 25, 30 years, I think that mentality is gone.
I mean, think about the compounded effect. 10 million people leaving the workforce.
And younger people who aren't like this loyal to a company till their death, you know, it's every person for himself at
this
point.
So those old school companies that are not changing will just have to change.
Well, they're going to change.
They'll have no choice.
They'll have no choice. Now, when a woman takes time off to have babies and then they go back to work, doesn't their salary suffer? I mean, I would think that their salary would definitely go down, and now you're adding this part-time thing into it. I mean, how does that figure into the equation? If you can go back and do contracted work part-time, do you see people making more money than they did before?
If you mean when they return to work full-time afterwards?
Right.
Yes, absolutely. Because what happens is one of the benefits of working in a free agent type situation is you get to experience all these different skill sets that you would never have. You know, one day you're working at one firm, the next day you're working at a different firm. You're learning new things more so than, you know, a traditional person staying in one role would over the years.
Right. Or one company.
Or
even
one company. So your resume all of a sudden is, you know, expanded greatly. You've had your flexibility. You've made a market rate. I mean, it's a win-win all over.
Right. What do you see as the biggest challenges ahead for you guys?
I think the biggest challenges is just, you know, will there be enough organizations doing this in a proactive kind of way to help as many people? I mean, we have 11,000 people in our database.
And 11,000, like moms
11,000
dads and boomers.
Flexibility, right, people who need flexibility all over the United States.
So within 2 years, you were able to?
That's right.
Wow. So that shows you what kind of need there is out there.
I mean, we've been so fortunate that we get a tremendous amount of passive press. We don't do a lot. We were on the Today Show. We have a lot of people who come to us and say, we love what you're doing. We want to talk about it. And that gets moms to us.
Right. It got my attention at the chamber meeting. Really, it did.
That's right. It's unique. It's new. It's different. And it solves a very big problem. And I know that you know, Amy, that people have been complaining about this problem forever, you know, and this is the first opportunity to really do something about it.
Right. It's not new. It's definitely not new. You know, the philosophy talks a lot about work balance. I'd like to know how you do that personally.
I hate that question because I never feel balanced.
Your job is mom core. Like, you're not working contract for some of these companies.
No, I'm helping to build this startup. And I think balance is a relative term for everyone. And I'm not trying to skirt the answer. On a daily basis, I work really hard at balance. But it's not always perfect. And we're building a completely new company from scratch. And we don't have a lot of resources. But, you know, I do feel balanced. I feel more balanced than I ever have in my life before. I have the freedom to do and the, you know, the blessing, if you will, to sort of do what I need to do at any given time.
That's why I asked her the question. Doesn't she seem so at ease and peaceful balanced? I mean,
I'm sure, you know, when you were working for that big corporation, you were a little stress. Oh, I'll say different. I don't want to say more. I'll just say it was a different level of stress.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things we try to do as an organization for our own employees is you do what you need to do. You just get your job done.
Right. And you're not saying do it during this window of time.
That's right.
Just make sure it gets done.
It's a results-oriented work environment.
Right.
It's just whatever your result needs to be, finish it. If you need to go to school, you don't even need to tell me.
Exactly.
Just do it.
Right. I don't care how you do it. Just do it.
That's right.
I mean, I think more and more companies are taking that tact with their employees. But I'm sure there's a few holdouts that say, look, you got to clock in at this time and leave at this time. And I expect to see you here, whether there's nothing to be done or not, you know?
That's another thing. Physical presence is not so necessary anymore.
No, it really isn't.
What do you find about that with companies embracing that?
It depends on technology, frankly, and your fear of technology. You know, the more modern companies will buy web-based technology. We actually had a big accounting firm locally hire someone who only wanted to work at night and approve work. She had been a very senior auditor, and all she wanted to do was at night log on. And they set her up, they brought her all this technology to her home.
It's easy to facilitate. I mean, it's not that difficult for a big company to facilitate something like that. It's a trust thing, though, that the person's really going to be doing that instead of, you know, in their mind, I guess the big bosses think, oh, they're going to be, you know, at the lake all day, you know.
That's right. It's trust, and then also do a little extra work to get there. It is a little extra work. I mean, anytime you consider someone out of the norm, there's a little extra work to get there. But once you get there, in my opinion, the payoff is much better. I mean, some of the people who we bring to clients, our client says, where do you get these people?
Right.
And the issue is they're not going to the client because they don't want full-time jobs.
Right.
They are only coming to us. And so we have a higher caliber of candidate typically because of that.
Do you do any training for the individual to help them move from the mentality of I work for a big corporation to I'm kind of a freelancer?
Well, we are offering as of the next, in the next 2-3 weeks, we're offering web-based training for our moms. We're offering coaching services, resume services. We're offering lots of opportunities. So if you've been out for 5 years and you're intimidated about what your first step is, there are a whole slew of things that you could do on our website.
So you help the, like, does a person pay to be part of Mom Corps?
Or you do not pay to be part of Mom Corps, but you pay if you purchase a service like a resume review or something.
Right,
like,
so everything's
that.
An a la carte, and then the corporation, I guess, contracts with you, and then you find the worker?
That's exactly right. And
can you tell us what the website is, just so people can go?
The website is www.momcorps.com, and that's Mom Corps. MOMCORPS. It's often spelled incorrectly. MomCorps.com. And our partners are, we have resume review and coaching. And the one last thing that we do for training is once a year we have a conference. Last year it was in May. And we had Gene Chatsky come and speak about owning your finances from the Today Show. And this year we're it's going to be on April 3rd. I believe the location is Cobb Galleria. And we're going to have Leslie Bennett, who wrote the book The Feminine Mistake, as well as Dr. Kathleen Hall of the Stress Institute, come and speak. And the concept of these series is own your life, own your happiness, own your health. It's, I know you know, Amy, that, you know, people, women look at themselves holistically.
Right.
And this sort of satisfies that.
Great.
Wow. That's a great segue into our next guest. Maria, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I Run, You Play, a great concept. We're talking all about work balance, life balance, and really taking control of your time. And Teresa is the CEO and Chief Lifestyle Manager for I Run, You Play. Teresa, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
We would love to know a little bit more about your services. I understand that they are have been created to really help busy people manage their lives. Can you tell us what you do?
Well, thank you, for one, for having me this morning. I Run You Play is Atlanta Supreme's concierge and errand service. Basically, we give you your 25th hour in your day.
I love that, by the way. That really was what got me. The 25th hour in my day. I would love a 25th hour.
I can barely handle 24 hours.
Well, let me say, by handing over some of the things that you take for granted, that you just have to do, is what we do. You sit at work saying, oh my God, I got to get to Walmart at a certain time, because if not, I'm not going to get in and out of there.
Right.
I don't want to take the children there. Well, it has been known that you, an average person in an 8-hour workday, takes about 2.5 hours to think about the things that they need to be doing after work or on the weekend.
Right.
And that's where I Run, You Play comes in. We get an email from you, we get a phone call from you, and we go out and do the things that you do not have time to do, be it grocery shopping, be it auto service, taking your car to be repaired, be it home wait service. No one wants to wait on the cable man or the telephone guy, because they never tell you exactly when they're going to be there, and you just took a day off from work.
So if I contract with your company, then do I have like an account rep for me personally that will do all this stuff, or will a different person do it each time?
Well, it would be one person in particular doing things for you if it is something that is on a personal basis. But if it's something for as lunch delivery, we also do that to large businesses or small businesses. Let me say that if you need lunch delivery, you may have one or two different people in your area delivering mm-hmm. your lunch to you. But if it's on a personal basis of dry cleaning, anything dealing domestic, it would be one person that you would have doing that.
One thing on your website caught my attention, which I really think is a great niche for you, is the recovery program. Tell us a little bit about that.
The recovery program is called A Time to Heal. And basically, we come in after you've had an outpatient procedure or going through like chemo or dialysis, and you're just unable to do anything. Your family, of course, was there for you, but they have to get back working to help maintain, you know, the family. So you just need someone there as a companion on the non-medical side. But I do have, our company does have resources to help you on the medical side as well. Just from day-to-day things of helping you ensure you make it to the restroom, laundry. You have a little dog at home that needs to go out. You can't do it. They don't understand.
Right. My husband had ACL replacement, and I could not believe, you know, he couldn't drive, first of all, and just the logistics of that. And and the burden it put on the family, getting prescriptions, dry cleaning, like you're saying, just all the little errands.
Great. So how do you how does it work? Do they just pay per hour or per day?
Well, it depends on the service that you need. Like with A Time to Heal, the recovery service, you can contract it out for, as you know, you don't need recovery for a week. You pay for that week. Be it when I Run You Play comes in effect, for grocery shopping, you pay as you go.
Uh-huh. So, like, I would say, okay, I just hurt my knee, and I'm going to know that I need groceries, I need to get the dog fed. So I would contract for a couple hours each day.
Yes.
And then that's how it would work. Now, who is the typical prospect for you? Is it a busy professional, or is it a two-career family? Who are you looking? Who usually hires you guys?
Our busy professionals hire us because they are finding that their job is not a 40-hour work week anymore. They are going 60 to 70 to sometimes 80. Two-home working individuals that have children, they are needing us because not only are they working 40, 50, 60 hours, they have sports after work that they want to do with their children.
So you'll take my kid to sports?
No, we're not taking your children to sports. You need to be there. But
I
why you?
It's a long time watching a kid play baseball.
Well, exactly. But you know what? Why you there watching them play that sport and spending that quality time that we do not do with our children as much as we should anymore? You don't have to worry about your groceries. You don't have to worry about any of the things that would generally take you from there.
So how can people learn more about your services? Do you have a website, phone number?
Yes, we do. We have a website. It is www.irunyouplay, and that's the letter I-R-U-N, then Y-O-U-P-L-A-Y.com, or you can reach us at 678-889-5551.
Teresa, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if you want to learn more about her services, there's also some travel things that she offers as well, as far as travel concierge. So visit the website. A lot of information there. Lee, we're running out of time.
Man, it happens again. It flies by.
It does. Well, we've got a loaded show for the next couple weeks. And by the way,
yes.
Have you been receiving any books? Like, I'm receiving books and free stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Last week I never
get anything.
Last week I got three different books.
Books,
and one of them I read, and the author's coming on in 2 weeks. It's called.
How come
Meet
I do
Me
a
at
bunch
Starbucks.
Of these shows? I never get any of the stuff. You know, I must be doing it wrong.
Do you get any of the good food from Fitness and the Fat Guy, Dr. Fitness?
No, I don't. You know, occasionally he throws me a crumb, but not usually.
I need to start bringing you some things. Maybe I'll leave you with the superhero duck.
Oh. I noticed that. You got a new duck because the last one was injured in a water incident.
Yes, the last one I did. Good memory. Yes, when I was on Andy's show, I brought my duck and I dropped him in the water. And he no longer quacked, so he had to put the cape on him now.
That's right. He needed supplemental accident insurance, I think.
He did. Oh, gosh, Lee, you have to sign out now because I got the giggles.
All right, another great episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Till next week, Lee Cantor and Amy Otto.